Would you like Jesus to be here walking in our midst so you could ask him a few questions? Do you have a few questions for him? Yep. Hundreds and hundreds. And I'm sure one of them is, Jesus, when you say follow me, what do you mean? What does it mean to follow you? What does it mean to be a Christian? In tonight's message, we're going to be looking at the umbrella of the answer. We're going to be looking at two aspects. The one is being, and the other is doing. And the question is, walking along that tightrope, what should the balance look like? Should we be doing a lot of being and a little bit of doing, or perhaps the other way around? A little bit of being and lots of doing. That's the question before us tonight. So let the Lord speak to us through this message. So Father, I commit this time to you now, and I pray that every word that I speak will be a word from you in season for every one of us here this evening. And to you I pray, Lord God, all praise, honor, and glory be to you and you alone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you know anybody who's a very active person? You've seen the advert for the Duracell bunny? That kind of thing. Well, in my family, I have two contrasts. I have two brothers. One is definitely a doer. The other is definitely a beer, if you can use that term. I don't know if that's the correct English term for it. But one brother has got so much energy, it is actually frightening. From when he opens his eyes, he does not stop moving until he falls asleep at night. And he loves just being active. The other brother loves books, and he can read, and he can be quiet, and he loves that kind of atmosphere. So think about those two and reflect on your own life. Because I believe we all have natural inclinations. Some of us will be more energetic than others. That's how God's made us. But that being said, what should our lives look like? And so we're going to look at a couple of illustrations through the scriptures tonight to try and discern what that balance should look like. So we'll be looking at a couple of people in the scriptures. I don't know if any of you know about the Desert Fathers. You heard about them. Some of you have done history. Those folks used to go out into the desert and live, we would say, frugally, aesthetically. And people would say, why do they do that? They're trying to escape humanity, trying to escape life in the towns and all the rest of it. Answer, no. That's not what they did. They went to be in God's presence. They spent hours and hours praying, seeking God's face. And then they would return back into society with words for people, words of encouragement, words of wisdom. This is what the Lord said to me, or this is what God said to me, to be more accurately. So there was a vital role. They needed to be in God's presence and still to listen for that still small voice so he could speak to them. What about you and I? Do we do that enough? Don't answer it right now. We'll look at that a bit later. In a book called With Open Heart by Michel Coist, he's an activist. He writes this: God isn't going to ask, what did you dream? What did you think? What did you plan? What did you preach? He's going to ask you, what did you do? So he's the other end of the scale. He's saying it's really important in terms of our Christian faith to be doers. And there are scriptures that back that up. Jesus in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So there's a sense of balance here that we need to be both being in God's presence but also doing things. Now, Nana read for us a few minutes ago from Philippians, written by Paul. What do we find in that passage about Paul? Something of that balance. He declares before he becomes a Christian, he says this, a Hebrew and a Pharisee. That's, he identifies himself as a Hebrew and a Pharisee. But then he says, zealous in work for his faith. So there's Paul, obviously prior to meeting Jesus, even as a Jew and a Pharisee, he was zealous about the work he was doing. Studying the law, but living it. And then he meets Jesus, and he becomes a Christian. And what do we find? The same pattern. The one thing Paul wants to know is to know Jesus. If you listen to what was read in that passage, that's his passion. I want to know Jesus. How is he going to know Jesus? Not by being busy all the time, by being a man of prayer and in the Word, in the law in those days. So it was essential for him to do that. But then let's look at Paul's life. It's actually exhausting when you just think about it for a moment. How many churches did he plant? Shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, flogged, beaten, put into prison, in court. This guy's life was unbelievable. He was a Jerusalem bunny. Yet he was a man of prayer who was passionate about knowing Jesus. So can you see in his life there's this balance? We'll see later. In order to do, we need to be. So now we're going to turn to the example, the prime example in the Bible, who is Jesus. And this is precious. Listen carefully to what God says to us in his word. Let's look first at being. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Prayed. Why did he do that? Take note, firstly, when did he do it? First thing in the morning. Because what lay ahead was a busy day of ministry. So he needed to connect with his Father. He needed to be empowered by the Spirit in order to go and do things. Let's continue down that avenue of being with Jesus for a while. The Garden of Gethsemane. Just take yourself there for a moment. He's in the garden with his disciples, and he knows that very soon he's going to go to the cross. He knows what lies ahead. So who does he need to speak to? His Father. That's again the being. It's being with God and connecting with him. So let me read to you some verses from Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Just get a sense of where Jesus is at. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Wow. "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell to his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Can you hear that communion with his Father? He's pouring out his heart to his Father and saying, "Please, this is an agonizing time for me." Because he knew what lay ahead. It says, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." The footnote in my Bible says this: his prayer reveals to us his terrible suffering. His agony was worse than death because he paid for all sin by being separated from God. He knew that lay ahead. The sinless Son of God took our sins upon himself to save us from suffering and separation. So there's an absolutely beautiful picture, heartbreaking, but of Jesus connecting with his Father. That's being. And I don't know if you're all familiar with John chapter 17. It's the longest prayer that Jesus prayed in the Bible. And what is that prayer all about? Let's read a little bit of that. So here he's praying for himself, for his disciples, and then for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Just those words. Does that sound like unity to you? I am in you, you are in me. Lord, may all these believers be one with us. That's the being. No ministry, no rushing around, just being with his Father and opening his heart up to his Father to say, we are one. I hope all of these people become one with us as well. That's an incredible prayer and one that we should cherish. So what was that communion with his Father actually all about? I'd like to term it this way, it's spiritual fuel. That's the only word I could come up with when I was preparing this. It was a sense of, let's look at a motor vehicle. You can't do anything with it, and it won't go anywhere or do anything unless you put fuel into it. That's the energy, that's the driving force. So in Jesus' life, he had to plug in, as it were, to his Father, to be energized, strengthened for what lay ahead. And now let's move out of that being towards the doing. So what was Jesus doing? What was his ministry all about? So we know that he prayed, he spent a lot of time with his Father. What was he doing? Wow. Let's look at that. As he started his ministry, as I read this to you, try and grasp what Jesus' ministry was all about. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And you feel like stopping right there and saying, that's enough. Preaching, teaching, healing throughout the city. Whoa, but hang on. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him who were ill with various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them all. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and across the Jordan followed him. Just imagine doing all of those things and you've got this massive crowd following you wherever you go. Does exhausting sound about right? Why didn't Jesus just fall down in a big heap from exhaustion? Where did he get the energy? Where did he get the power to do all of those things? From God. From the being. He was able to minister. He became a doer. So in conclusion, what does following Jesus entail? How should we live to be effective disciples of Christ? We see that Paul's example, being and doing. Jesus' example, being and doing. They both need to be part and parcel of our lives. And I close with a scripture, the vine and the branches that Jesus teaches about. And if you think about that parable for a moment, it's all about producing fruit that lasts to the glory of the Father. How? How do we as disciples of Jesus become producers of fruit that last? Simply, Jesus says, remain in me. there's the being. The only way you're ever going to produce anything is if you're in me. The being and the doing. So let me read John 15:7-8. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's a lovely picture too of plugging into the vine, being the branches, and producing the fruit. It all comes from being, and then out of that being, the doing. So if we go right back to the beginning, the first question, if Jesus was standing here tonight and we said to him, what does it mean to follow you? What does it mean to be a good disciple? I believe this is certainly going to be part of the answer he would give. You need to be with me constantly. You need to be connected to me because that's the source of love, of power, of all the things you need to minister. But then you need to minister. You need to be out there sharing the good news, serving others as Jesus did. What did he say? He said, I came to serve, not to be served. So there it is, the balance in our lives. So Father, we thank you for your word this evening to each of us here. And I pray that as we go from this place, that we will ponder upon these things. And Holy Spirit, you would teach us to be good disciples for Jesus, of Jesus. That we would spend time in prayer and in the word. And that we would take all that knowledge and all that love that you pour into our hearts out into the world. And through acts of kindness and through words spoken, words of love, that we will be bearers of fruit at last and always to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen.